السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد اللہ الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
At this time, I will present some narrations of Hadhrat Musleh Maud, which are either directly or indirectly related to the promised Messiah. There are many lessons to be learned from these accounts, which today also can help guide us to the right path. The first narration relating to the promised Messiah shows his passion and zeal for tabligh, for preaching, and what he expected of the Jamaat. Hadhrat Musleh Maud refers to the pain and fervor of the promised Messiah, how to propagate the message, and how he desired for its impact to also resonate upon Jamaat members. And relating the promised Messiah's views in this regard, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "The promised Messiah would have remarkable thoughts and ideas about how to propagate the message of Islam. Day and night, his overwhelming concern would be how the message could be conveyed to all parts of the world. Once the promised Messiah suggested that members of the Jamaat should have distinct attire and clothing to distinguish them from others, and various suggestions were given on this, so that every person could become a means of tabligh in himself. In other words, the ways to how others could immediately recognize that a person is an Ahmadi. Certainly, to simply appear different from others in appearance alone has no value. Undoubtedly, what the promised Messiah meant was that whilst others would notice an Ahmadi's clothing and then be drawn to his or her beliefs and practices, it would also serve as a constant reminder for Ahmadis themselves that they would be identified by others as an Ahmadi, and thus they must ensure they rectify and uphold a practical state and beliefs at all times. Thus, today also we should develop the understanding that although the clothes we wear are not of any value, we should still, at the very least, ensure that our appearance and outward state is such that others can immediately recognize that a person is an Ahmadi and is distinct from others. With reference to attire, Hadhrat Musleh Maud explains the appearance a missionary or one who serves the faith should adopt. He says that for tabligh, for preaching, it is essential to have the appearance of a believer. Addressing Khuddam al-Ahmadiyyat, he said, And so I advise Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya and remind them that their outward appearance should be in accordance with Islam. They should maintain simplicity in the way they shape their beards, style their hair, and the clothes they wear. Islam does not forbid one from wearing neat, clean or fine clothes. In fact, Islam enjoins that one should be considerate of outward cleanliness and to avoid filth at all costs. However, undue formality in clothing is what is forbidden. Some are in the habit of checking their clothes they are wearing at regular intervals to see whether any dust has come on them or to see the color of their coat. This is a vain endeavor. People would bring gifts of very nice clothes to the promised Messiah, and he would wear them. However, he never gave so much attention to his clothing that he would constantly brush his coat, nor did the thought constantly emerge in his mind that he should frequently check to see whether any specks of dust had fallen upon his clothes. He said that using a clothes brush is not forbidden. However, to spend the greater part of one's time doing so is something disliked. Some people have developed such a complex with relation to clothes that I have observed when invited to people's homes that some people frown that they do not possess a certain type of coat or item of clothing. Regardless of the type of clothing one has, a person should meet and greet others with great confidence. The real thing to keep in mind is to cover one's body properly, to adopt cleanliness and purity. If one has clothes that covers them properly and yet avoids meeting another person because he thinks he should have been wearing such and such clothes to do so, then this is not faith, but rather this is worldliness. Thus, this is a counsel for Waqfi in his Zindagi, the life devotees, and for missionaries in particular, but also the members of the Jamaat generally, that do not give so much attention to your outward appearance that the real objective is left behind. Or there are some who neglect cleanliness, but they should remember that cleanliness is part of faith. And so there should be moderation. In every matter, one should neither be at one extreme or the other. Hazrat Musleh Maud narrates an account relating to tabligh, to preaching, and that special emphasis should be given on it. He says, on this particular occasion, when I went to Delhi, my astonishment was confounded when I observed that the people of Delhi had abandoned engaging in absurd debates. Prior to this, whenever I had the opportunity to come to Delhi, all types of people would come to meet me, and without exception, would start the most ridiculous of debates, completely devoid of logic and reasoning. He says that I recall I was a young child then when I came here and stayed with a relative. One of our brothers, the brother of someone related from Hyderabad, also came to meet our maternal grandmother, with whom Hazrat Amma Jan, the blessed wife of the promised Messiah, was staying. Indicating towards me, this brother of the relative said, "Who is this boy?" Grandmother said, "He is a son of so-and-so." In other words, she gave the name of Hadrat Ammajan. Hearing her name, the relative said, "What uproar your father has raised. People says he says many things against Islam." Hadrat Musleh Maud says, "Despite being very young, I did not become uneasy and apprehensive. As I was thoroughly versed in the debate of Jesus being alive, I started to speak on this topic. I said that all the promised Messiah has said is that Jesus, peace be upon him, has passed away. And the Messiah and the Mahdi prophesied to appear in this era will be from among this Ummah, that is the Muslims. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that from among the verses of the Holy Quran that prove that Jesus has died, I had memorized the verse which begins, O Jesus, I will cause thee to die a natural death and will exalt thee to myself. And so I explain the whole subject in great detail based on this in an effective manner. The relative was surprised and said, truly from this it is proven that Jesus, peace be upon him, has died. So then why do these Maulvis raise such a hue and cry? I replied that you should ask the Maulvis why they do this. Hadhrat Musleh Maud then says, so how did the grandmother react to this? There was an outcry from her and she said, repent, repent. This child has already gone mad hearing about these things. You have only set a seal on his faith and strengthened his disbelief, his kufr. Then, with relation to tabligh, preaching, Hazrat Musleh Maud relates the method of preaching of one of the companions of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He says, Mia Sher Muhammad Sahib was an uneducated person and was among the old companions of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He was among those who devoted everything for the sake of the religion. He drove a horse or ox-driven carriage. He would pick up passengers from Flor, the name of a place, and take them to Banga. His method of tabligh was that after picking up his passengers, he would discuss issues with the passengers whilst taking them to their destination. He had subscribed to the Al-Hakam newspaper and would inquire if his passengers were literate, and if so, he would take the newspaper out from his pocket and say, this newspaper has come in my name. Please read it out to me. The passengers sitting in the carriage endure a bumpy journey, and so anything to pass time was most desirable. Thus, the passengers would enthusiastically start to read out from Al-Hakam. And then, Mia Sher Muhammad Sahib would himself start to question the passengers, as if to inquire about the meaning of the words of what was written. In other words, non-Ahmadi passenger would have to think and reflect, and then provide the answer, and therefore it meant that the passengers understood the concepts well as a result. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that when Mia Sher Muhammad Sahib related this account to me, he had by then converted over a dozen people to Ahmadiyyat. All of this he did only by making his passengers read Al-Fazl or Al-Hakam. He remained alive for some time after this, and who knows how many converted through him and by this method he employed for preaching. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, in short, to initiate the task of preaching to only use major scholars and well-educated people is not necessary. In such areas where there are no educated or literate people, then even illiterate Ahmadi should be sent to us so we can teach them about our beliefs and doctrines orally. This guidance is especially for some of the far-off small jamaats, so work can at least start for tabligh. If we wait, thinking a scholar must be present, then we would delay the work for an unknown period of time. Even now, despite the fact that there is a specific proportion of the Jamaat who are becoming missionaries, it will still not fulfill all our requirements for the near future. This is because the religious scholars have to study in depth into the minutest details of the religion, and to acquire this knowledge takes a considerable length of time. Despite this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that religion is the name of ease. Thus, for Dawat al-Illah, calling people towards God the Almighty, one does not only need to engage in intellectual discussions or rely only on large seminars and functions. The best method of tabligh should be gauged based on the circumstances. There are many Ahmadis today also who devise their own methods of preaching and with the grace of Allah the Almighty find great success. Hadhrat Musleh Maud relates an account of a common friend of the promised Messiah on whom be peace and Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi. This is an interesting incident from the time of the promised Messiah on whom be peace relating to one of his friends, who also happened to be the friend of Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi. This common friend's name was Nizamuddin, and he had performed the Hajj, the pilgrimage, on 7 occasions. He was a very friendly and cheerful person. He was friends with both the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and Muhammad Hussein Batalvi. And so when the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, made his claim, and Muhammad Hussein Batalvi declared the promised Messiah to be an infidel, it pained Nizamuddin deeply, because he was certain of the piety of the promised Messiah. He lived in Ludhiana, and whenever opponents spoke against the promised Messiah, he would confront them and say, "You should first learn about the state of the promised Messiah before his claim. He is a very pious man, and after living with him, I have witnessed that he, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, is ready to accept anything that can be explained through the Holy Quran. He is never deceitful. I am certain that he will immediately agree if it is explained through the Holy Quran that his claim is false." Oftentimes, Nizamuddin Sahib used to quarrel with people regarding this matter, and he used to say that when I visit Qadian, I will see if really the promised Messiah does not renounce his claim. Nizamuddin Sahib said that I will open the Holy Quran in front of the promised Messiah, and I will share with him a verse supporting the ideology that Jesus, peace be upon him, is alive, and he was raised to the heavens. He would accept this view immediately. I know that he most certainly does not object once he has been convinced from the Holy Quran. At last, one day he thought about travelling to Qadian from Ludhiana, and immediately upon arrival he asked the promised Messiah, that "Have you forsaken Islam and disavowed the Holy Quran?" The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, "How is this possible? I believe in the Holy Quran and my firm faith is in Islam." Nizamuddin said, "Alhamdulillah, I say to people that the promised Messiah could never disavow the Holy Quran." Nizamuddin Sahib then said, "What if I present 100 verses to prove that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is alive? Will you then accept it?" The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, "Let alone hundreds of verses, if you simply present one such verse, I will accept it." Nizamuddin Sahib said, "Alhamdulillah, I was debating with people regarding exactly this, that to make the promised Messiah agree is not difficult, and that people are needlessly creating an uproar." Then Nizamuddin Sahib said, "If not hundreds of verses, what if I present 100 verses to prove that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is alive? Will you then accept it?" The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, "I have already stated that I will accept it if you present only one verse citing this. It is equally important to follow every single word of the Holy Quran as it is to follow 100 verses. It is not a question about 1 or 100 verses." Nizamuddin Sahib said, "All right, if not 100, what if I present 50 verses? Would you then promise to renounce your claim?" The promised Messiah said again, "I have already stated that if you present only one verse, I am willing to accept it." As the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, continued to express resolute firmness regarding this matter, Nizamuddin Sahib thought that perhaps there are not as many verses in the Holy Quran to prove this point regarding this matter. So he said, "All right, if I present 10 verses to you, then will you accept it, surely?" The promised Messiah laughed and said, "I stand by what I have stated earlier. That is, present just one verse." Nizamuddin Sahib said, "All right, I will now take leave and will return in 4 to 5 days and present before you those verses of the Holy Quran." During those days, Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi was in Lahore, and Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I was there as well. At that time, the conditions of a debate with Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi were being negotiated. That is, the debate was with the promised Messiah, and the terms and conditions for this debate were being settled between Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I and Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi, and there was also some exchange of letters between the two. The topic of the debate was the death of the Messiah. Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Sahib Batalvi used to say, "Since this verse of the Holy Quran is a commentary to a specific hadith, for this reason, when something can be proven from the hadith, it should be considered part of the Holy Quran. For this reason, this debate on the life or death of Jesus should be carried out in light of the hadith." Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I stated the Holy Quran has precedence over Hadith. For this reason, you will certainly have to prove your claim from the Holy Quran. For many days, a debate on this topic continued, and in order to shorten this argument and to make this debate happen in some way or the other, Hadrat Khalifa Tirmidhi I accepted many conditions set by Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Badalvi. And Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib was very happy that Hadrat Khalifa Tirmidhi I is accepting all my conditions. While this was happening, Mia Nizamuddin Sahib arrived and said, "Stop all the debates. I met the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and he is willing to repent and renounce his claims. Since I am your friend, and also Mirza Sahib's as well, this disagreement has caused me a lot of discomfort. I was aware of Hadrat Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, had a virtuous disposition. For this reason, I visited him and made him promise that if 10 verses from the Holy Quran regarding the physical ascension of Prophet Jesus are presented before him, then he will accept the belief that Prophet Jesus is alive. You, Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, should now share those verses with me." There was a lot of anger in Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi's disposition. He said angrily, "O wretched one, you have ruined everything for me. For the past 2 months, I argued with and convinced them to discuss in light of the Hadith, while you have taken the discussion to the Holy Quran again." Mia Nizamuddin Sahib said, "All right, so you do not even have 10 verses to support your point of view?" Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi replied, "You are an illiterate person. You do not know what is the meaning of the Holy Quran." Mia Nizamuddin Sahib said, "All right, I am where the Holy Quran is," and he returned to Qadian where he took the bet at the hand of the promised Messiah. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that, "Look at the certainty of belief the promised Messiah had on the Holy Quran, and he used to say with such steadfastness that the Holy Quran could not be against him. This does not mean that the Holy Quran had a special relation with the promised Messiah, or that the Holy Quran had a special bond with Jamaat-e-Ahmadiyya. The Holy Quran will show the truthful way, and it will support the party which sides with the truth. Since the promised Messiah was certain that he was with the truth, so the Holy Quran was with him. This is the reason that why the promised Messiah used to say that if any of my claims are not conformable with the Holy Quran, then I will shun them entirely. Certainly, this does not mean that the promised Messiah had any doubts regarding his claim. On the contrary, the reason he said this was that he was so certain that the Holy Quran would testify for him. It was this hope that made him successful in the world. Therefore, every Ahmadi should always be confident that the Holy Quran is with the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and with Jamaat-e-Ahmadiyya. And it is this support of the Holy Quran that increases the numbers of the Jamaat by illuminating the hearts of pure-natured people every day. Then, elaborating on the point that opposition causes guidance, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that when opposition increases, then the Jamaat also advances. And when opposition increases, then the miraculous support and help of Allah the Almighty also increases. For this reason, when a friend used to say that we are facing severe opposition, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, replied, "This is a sign of your progress." The Jamaat progresses in areas where it faces opposition, because due to opposition, many people who are ignorant are also introduced to the Jamaat. Then gradually the desire to read books of the Jamaat is procured in their hearts. When they read the books, the truth captivates their hearts. Once a friend visited the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and took the bet, the oath of allegiance. After taking the bet, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, inquired, "Who preached to you?" He replied spontaneously, "Maulvi Sanaullah Sahib preached to me." The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said in amazement, "How so?" The visitor said that, "I used to read Maulvi Sahib's newspaper and his books, and I always used to witness severe opposition, against Jamaat Ahmadiyya in it. One day I thought that I should see for myself what is written in these books that they are writing against. My heart opened when I began to read these books, and I became prepared to accept the bet. So the first benefit of opposition is that the Jamaat progresses and a lot of people obtain guidance. Even today, the opposition by the enemies is causing hearts of the people to open up. Oftentimes, this is mentioned in reports from Muballighin from the missionaries, and I receive many letters directly stating how they were introduced to the Jamaats. While mentioning how Allah the Almighty grants wisdom to even an illiterate person after accepting Ahmadiyyat, and how that person is always ready to respond, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that there was a person named Mia Noor Ahmed Sahib from an area in Ludhiana. He had taken up the responsibility to propagate the message of Islam to lower castes. He used to propagate to the cleaners, many amongst whom were Christians. Thousands had become his followers. They accepted the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and some of his followers used to visit Qadian because they thought that he is a spiritual guide of our spiritual guide. In order to oppose the promised Messiah on whom be peace and to make a jest of the claim of the promised Messiah, one of our uncles labeled himself as a spiritual guide of Christians. His claim was that I am Lal Beg, that is a priest of the lower caste. Once some of those people from the lower caste who had converted to Islam visited Qadian. They were in the habit of smoking hookah, smoking pipe. They were in the gathering of this person who labeled himself as a spiritual guide of the lower castes. This person was actually a Mughal himself. When they saw hookah in this gathering, they sat down with him for the sake of the hookah. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that this uncle of ours started a religious dialogue with them. He inquired, "Why have you come to visit the promised Messiah? You are actually my followers. What has Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, given you?" Those people were illiterate, as people of the lower caste are normally. When Hazrat Musleh Maud is narrating this incident, it is almost 40 years ago. So then he says that nowadays these people are very sensible, but this is 40 years from today. This means that at the time of the promised Messiah, these people were completely illiterate. However, when our uncle inquired from them what the promised Messiah has given you, they replied that we do not know anything else, but we are able to understand one thing, that people used to call us sweepers, but we accepted Ahmadiyyat. However, due to our relationship with the promised Messiah, they now call us Mirzai. So we were sweepers, but now we have become Mirzai. On the contrary, you were a Mirza before, but now due to your opposition against the promised Messiah, you have become sweepers. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that apparently these incidents are amusing. However, there is a philosophy of wisdom within them. These illiterate people expressed with their tongues the meaning of the fact that Allah the Almighty destroys enemies of prophets and grants success to the believers. Therefore, the truth is that as soon as someone becomes an Ahmadi, his wisdom regarding religious matters is sharpened and he can surpass even scholars. Nevertheless, if this matter is disregarded, even then, who is such an Ahmadi about whom it can be said that his level of people are not present in this world? Instead, every Ahmadi, in terms of wisdom and knowledge, according to his level, is more sensible than any Christian, Hindu, Sikh, and non-Ahmadi in religious matters. Hazrat Musleh Maud narrates an incident regarding the distinctive manners of sincerity of Ahmadis the desire of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, to fulfill a revelation, then facing the enemy due to Ahmadiyyat, the transformation of animosity to love due to Ahmadiyyat. He says that I remember in my childhood when the people from the district of Gujarat visited Qadian. At that time, Sialkot and Gujarat were considered centers of the movement. Gurdaspur was far behind in this regard because it is an established custom that a prophet does not receive much appreciation in his hometown. During that time, Sialkot was number one and Gujarat was number two. I remember the faces of many people from Gujarat even to this day. I remember that many of them used to travel to Qadian on foot with sincerity in order to fulfill the prophecy of the promised Messiah, which stated, Yatika min kulli fajjin amik. They did not walk to Qadian due to financial hardship. Rather, they did so in order to fulfill the prophecy. There were many sincere people amongst them who were very close to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. This incident is also regarding those people from the district of Gujarat, and it is often narrated by the late Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib, and I have mentioned it during the days of the Jalsa Salana. There was one group that was walking on foot from one side, and the other group was coming from the other side on foot. When these two groups met with each other, they started crying. So I inquired that, why do you cry? They replied that a part of us are those who accepted Ahmadiyyat first. Amongst these two groups, there was a group of people who accepted Ahmadiyyat first, and for that reason, the second group of people amongst them gave them immense hardship and a tough time, and they were forced to migrate from their village. Then they did not know about each other for a while. After some time, Allah the Almighty blessed us, the second group, with the light of Ahmadiyyat, and we, who used to force Ahmadis out of their homes, ourselves accepted Ahmadiyyat. Now that we arrived here, then coincidentally, by Allah the Almighty's wisdom, we met those brothers of ours whom we had forced out of their homes. When we saw them arriving from there, our hearts were laden with passion, because it was these people who used to call us towards guidance, and we always used to oppose them and were their enemies, so much so that we forced them out of their homes. Today, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, we have been united. For this reason, we became emotional and started crying. Therefore, these are the blessings of Ahmadiyyat, that it unites those who have been separated. Satan puts obstacles between them, but Ahmadiyyat unites them again. And inshallah, these incidents will occur again. The wrong impression created among the Muslims by the Maulvis that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to make birds with his hands and infuse life in them, after which they would start to fly like other normal birds, is due to their lack of understanding of the Holy Quran. All this means is that he used to train people with spiritual prowess to such a degree that they would spiritually ascend towards God the Almighty. A Maulvi who shared this belief regarding Jesus, peace be upon him, was once conversing with the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace. Hadrat Musleh Maud writes that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, once asked a Maulvi that according to him, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, used to make birds. Therefore, some of the birds that we see in the world today have been created by God the Almighty, while some are those who have been created by Jesus. How would he make the distinction between the two, as to which ones have been created by God the Almighty, and which ones by Jesus, peace be upon him? The Maulvi Sahib replied in Punjabi, saying it was very difficult now because the birds created by God and Jesus have all mixed together. Therefore, it is now difficult to distinguish between the two. Hadhrat Musleh Maud then states that regarding the promised Messiah, it is said that he used strong words against the Christians. However, the reality is somewhat different, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace never initiated this or took the first step. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that when a matter exceeds the limits, then it is sometimes necessary to give a response to a certain degree. Through the ages, Christians have always attacked the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And because the Muslims did not respond, therefore the Christians always assumed that the founder of Islam was full of flaws. And that if there was any religion that was flawless, then it was in the life of Jesus. They wrongly interpreted the civility of the Muslims. They assumed that because they partook in repulsive behavior, and the Muslims did not, therefore, in actuality, their leader carried such and such flaws. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that days, months, years, and centuries passed, and Christians continued to sully the Muslims and the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Muslims kept pardoning them. Eventually, God the Almighty allowed the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, to give a response and tell them whether or not flaws could be found in them. Thus, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, started to write, and whilst addressing Jesus, peace be upon him, included what the Jews used to say about him, or what has been recorded in the books belonging to the Christian faith. The promised Messiah had only written a few books, that the entire Christian world raised a clamor that this was not a right practice. The promised Messiah stated that he had told them from before this was not the right practice, but they, the Christians, never took heed, and now they were on the receiving end, and thus they have finally realized that this is not the right practice. Therefore, in certain cases where the promised Messiah has used strong words, it was in response rather than initiating it. Hadhrat Musleh Maud, regarding a very renowned physician, whom even Hadhrat Khalifat Masih I had great regard for, states that he had great reverence for the promised Messiah on whom be peace, but despite this, he did not accept his claim. There is a very interesting incident in relation to him. According to Hakim Sahib, he believed that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had made the claim of Jesus' death for other reasons. However, Hadhrat Musleh Maud mentions it by first stating that Hadhrat Shu'aib used to tell people not to steal others' wealth, and neither to spend their own wealth in wrong ways, and the people would be so shocked at his words that they would say that Shu'aib has gone mad and is talking like an insane person. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that we see in this age too that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, God forbid, has been called mad when he presented the concept of the death of Jesus to the world. The Muslims were unable to grasp the concept of Jesus' death, because for 1300 years the Muslim leaders had presented the idea that Jesus, peace be upon him, was alive in the heavens, and therefore how could he have died? People had so much belief and conviction that it was impossible for them to believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, had passed away. And it is evident from the incident relating to this Hakim Sahib, this physician. Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that there was a renowned physician called Hakim Ulladin of the Punjab, and even Hadhrat Khalifat Masih I acknowledged his abilities as a physician. He lived in Behra. Once Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib Behrvi, who was a very close friend of Hadhrat Khalifat Masih I and a sincere Ahmadi, went to his house to do some tabligh, some preaching. After doing some tabligh, Hakim Sahib said to him, that what tabligh will you do to me? You have no idea. The reverence that I have for Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, you probably don't even have 1/10 or 1/20 of it. Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib became very happy upon listening to this and thought that perhaps he is an Ahmadi at heart, and therefore said, I am very happy to hear that you have great reverence for the promised Messiah, and I would be delighted to hear more of your thoughts about the community. Hakim Sahib said that these days the illiterate youth do not go into the depth of the matter and just go to do tabligh. Now you have come to explain to me the concept of the death of Jesus, yet you do not even know the wisdom behind Mirza Sahib presenting this concept. So Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib stated that go ahead and explain. He said, listen, the fact is that Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, has written the book Barahine Ahmadiyyat. There has not been a single Muslim who has written something like it. Mirza Sahib has placed such truth inside it that no other book of a Muslim can match it. It is like a wall that has stood against the attacks from other religions. However, the Maulvis are so foolish and thoughtless, and instead of thanking him and honoring him by saying that from now on they will only use his arguments, rather they started to pass edicts of disbelief against him. Despite witnessing the outstanding service to Islam, which no one has done after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last 1300 years, they instead began to pass fatwas or edicts of disbelief against him and championed their own knowledge, thinking that they were more superior. Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, became infuriated at this, and so he should have been. This is Hakim Sahib who is saying this, the physician. And he continues, and now he begins his argument from here, and he says that therefore the promised Messiah on whom be peace said to the Maulvis, if you really think you are scholars and are proud of your knowledge, and even though the concept of Jesus being alive has so clearly been established in the Holy Quran that it is impossible to prove the death of Jesus, however, I shall prove his death from the Holy Quran, and if you have the strength, then you should come to refute it. So he says that to prove the foolishness of the Maulvis, he presented the concept of the death of Jesus and put forth his arguments from the Holy Quran. So this Hakim Sahib states that now even if the Maulvis try their utmost and all the Maulvis of India unite, still they will not be able to challenge Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah's arguments. Mirza Sahib has caught them out in such a way that they dare not to raise their heads. So Hakim Sahib states that there is only one solution. Although there is no concept of the death of Jesus, because he is still alive, but there is only one way to resolve this issue of the Maulvis. That is, this dispute, and that is that all of the Maulvis should get together and collectively go to the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and apologize to him that they have dishonored him by passing edicts against him, and ask to be forgiven. Then watch how Mirza Sahib will prove through the Holy Quran that Jesus is alive. This indeed was his own interpretation. So now, in spite of having deep reverence for the promised Messiah, the concept of Jesus being alive was embedded in him so much that he did not take the bet of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Therefore, it is a great blessing of God the Almighty upon a person who is able to accept the Imam of this age. We should always remember that the concept of the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, is not simply a difference in ideology. In fact, it is important in upholding the oneness of God the Almighty, and the promised Messiah was to come and establish the oneness of God the Almighty. Regarding this, Hadrat Musleh Maud states that reproving the death of Jesus, the promised Messiah has removed a hindrance that was in the path to the perfect oneness of God the Almighty. It is for this reason that the promised Messiah laid great emphasis on this issue and would spend day and night discoursing it. Hazrat Musleh Maud states that, "I remember someone once told the promised Messiah to ease off this issue. The promised Messiah, overcome with vigor and splendor, said that at times I become so passionate about this subject that I think I might lose my senses. This concept has caused great harm to Islam, and we shall not rest until it has been quelled. People sometimes say that, what is this issue? These are impediments in the way of God's unity, and the promised Messiah had a great passion for removing them. It was this passion that enabled him to absorb the grace of God the Almighty and form the foundation for his truthfulness. Every one of us who has a love for Islam will know that this is merely a spark from which fire, which was in the heart of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. If one feels that he has the love of God the Almighty in his heart and an anguish for serving Islam, then he will know that this is merely a spark from the fire that was in the heart of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Therefore, all our effort should be focused on this particular point. Otherwise, if we fail to understand this, then everything we do may appear as if it is being done for the oneness of God the Almighty. However, it will be honing shirk, associating partners with God. It will be tawheed, but you will also be progressing towards shirk. How does this happen? Hazrat Musleh Maud relates an incident that during the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, there was a person who used to study here and would argue every day that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has knowledge of the unseen. He was Alimul Ghaib. He was wearing a Rumi style cap, and someone asked him that, did he believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of this? Without any shame, this person immediately responded that certainly he was. The reason Hadhrat Musleh Maud gave for this was that people go as far as wahdaniyat as regards to belief in God, but they do not reach ahadiyat. Both need to be understood, wahdaniyat and ahadiyat. They go as far as wahdaniyat, but they do not reach ahadiyat, where a person realizes that although humans to a certain extent are also Khalik, the creator, and Razik, the provider, but the being of God is separate from his creation. They are certainly not the same and never can be. I will briefly explain both wahdaniyat and ahdiyat with reference to the lexicons so that it makes it easier to understand. God is indeed wahid as well as ahad. Wahdaniyat signifies his uniqueness and oneness of his attributes, and man can take on these divine attributes, but only to a certain degree. Indeed, the most excellent example of this that can manifest in any human was in the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. However, in their most perfect form, they can only exist in God the Almighty. Ahad signifies the oneness of the being of God the Almighty, and nothing can even be imagined in comparison to Ahad. So, true oneness of God is established when the concept of Ahadiyat is understood, as Hazrat Musleh Maud has explained. May God the Almighty enable us to fulfill the objectives of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, and establish the true oneness of God the Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.